the pastor was saying he was getting older. And I turned 60 years old today, so I feel older. I tell you what, I was talking to my children, two of them. We went to lunch together after church, and I was saying, well, I'm getting older. And one of them said, Dad, really, you're not really that old, but you are losing a lot of your hair. But anyway, that's what happens when you get older. You lose your hair, and you gain things too, bulges and bunions and bridges and all kind of different things. But anyway, praise the Lord for getting older. Amen. I tell you what, church's not going to go down. One day the church is going to go up. Amen. Looking forward to that. In Acts chapter 5, in reverence to God and His Word, if you're able to, I'd like for you to stand, please. Acts chapter 5, and I want you to notice verse 29. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with the right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses, and we are his witnesses, and we are his witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." Let's pray. Father, we do love you. You are worthy. We're thankful for the goodness of God. It's not by might nor power, but it is by the Holy Spirit of God. So I pray, God, that you'll take the message today and speak to every heart, work in every life, deal with every soul. Every person in this building has a need, a spiritual need, emotional need, a physical need, a financial need, and you're the only one that can supply those needs. Lord, give us a greater burden for the souls of men and women, boys and girls. Help us to be soul-minded, soul-conscious, soul-winning. Help us to witness to people. Help us to be a shining light in this dark world. Help us to do your will and honor your name. Fill us with the Spirit. Empower us. Help us to be effective witness for God. And we'll thank you for all that you do. Thank God for this dear pastor and this church. Thank you for their burden for the souls of men right here in their community across the United States and around the world. Thank God for churches that way that do have a burden. So Lord, help us now freshen that burden tonight. And we'll thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was praying about what the Lord would have me to preach tonight. The Lord laid this on my heart pretty heavy. And so I want to preach on being a soul winner. Being a soul winner. If you think about it, that's exactly what missions is all about. To be a soul winner, to be a witness, to be a testimony. Jesus said, "The Son of Man come to seek and to save that which was lost. As the Father have sent me, even so send I you." That's really what mission's all about. So I'm really thankful for this church that has a burden for the souls of men right here in the community, because you need to reach your area. You need to reach your area. I remember I was in a public school, and I was doing a character under construction, and I asked the young people, I said, "How many of you know somebody in prison?" Honestly, almost every little kid raised their hand. And I heard someone say, "My daddy's in prison." Heard someone say, "My mother's in prison." Heard several say, "My brother's in prison. My sister's in prison." Let me ask you a question. How many of you know somebody's in prison right now? Okay. Isn't that amazing? So what I'm trying to say is, if we have an opportunity to witness someone in prison, they get saved. It could be your brother or your sister. It could be your mom. It could be your dad. So I think it's really important for us to be soul conscious no matter where we are. So I want to talk about being a soul winner. I was thinking about what the Bible says about soul winning. And I know God does the saving. God does the saving. Aren't you glad God births people into the family of God? God does the saving. But we are to be a witness. We are to be an influence. We are to be a soul winner. We are to actually influence people concerning Christ. I like what the Bible says about fishers of men. This is what Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 4, verse 19. He said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, talking about being a witness. "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth." Then I thought about soul winning. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." So God said that we're fishers of men. God says we are to be a witness. God says we're to be a soul winner. The soul winner's not born. The soul winner's not born. Therefore, I mean, you're not born a soul winner. Therefore, we are to be an effective witness. We must be taught. We must be trained. We must be motivated by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus took 3 years to teach and train his disciples in efforts of soul winning. Jesus, after his resurrection, instructed them to stay in Jerusalem until they're endued with power. So you may be up to date in all the modern techniques of soul winning and able to quote the necessary scriptures without a flaw. But if you do not evangelize in the power of the Holy Spirit, your witness, your soul winning efforts will be ineffective. I thought about this. When you say lost sinners were on the mind of the heart of the Savior all the time. If a shepherd found one sheep missing, Jesus thought of a poor sinner away from God. If a Jewish woman lost one of her string dowry coins, Jesus thought of a lost soul. If a boy was a wastrel and a prodigal, Jesus saw him typically of every lost soul away from the Father's house. When he saw a sower sowing the seed, he thought of a soul winner. When he saw fish in a net, he thought of catching men. When the Lord Jesus thought of a human birth, it reminded him of the new birth. And to him, every sacrifice of the ceremonial law pictured the cross when he would shed his blood for all sinners. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, when I'm talking about soul winning, I want to go through just several things. Number one, The importance of witnessing. Number two, the qualifications of a witness. Number three, the approach. Number four, the follow through. And then number five, God's plan of salvation. And then number six, how to give the invitation. And number seven, how to follow up. And I'll go a little bit slower in just a minute. But number one, let's talk about the importance of witnessing. The importance of witnessing. Think about this. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 17, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is important for us to be a witness. And everybody said, amen. I was thinking about that passage. It said, those that go with the gospel have beautiful feet. Now, I'm not trying to be funny here, but have you ever looked at your feet before? You got that big toe and you got those four toes, and sometimes you get stuff in between those toes. But anyway, if you look at your feet, to be honest with you, your feet are not beautiful. But what does it mean when God says those that go with the gospel have beautiful feet? How do you have beautiful feet? It's the heart behind those feet that make those feet beautiful. It's the heart behind those feet to be willing to go to a mom or dad and witness to them about the grace of God in order for them to be saved. I was brought up Catholic. My mom and dad was lost. I prayed and I fasted. And I led my mama to the Lord and I led my daddy to the Lord. I had a brother. I might have shared this before, but I witnessed to my brother. And I remember going in at my mother's house and I began to witness to my brothers and sisters. I got three older brothers, three younger sisters. Of course, mom and dad. And my parents have been separated since I was 12. So my parents were not together. But anyway, I would go into my mother's house, and literally, I'd go in the front door, and someone would go out the back door, someone would go out in the side door, someone would go out in the garage. They was avoiding me like I had a plague. The good thing about it was when it was time to eat supper for lunch, they always asked me to pray. So I prayed through the Romans Road, asked the Lord to save that crowd. Then I asked the Lord to bless the food in Jesus' name. Anyway, I was praying one day, and I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I said, I've been witnessing, and my family's avoided me, and I just don't know what to do. And God spoke to my heart one day, and he said, David, the seed of God's word been planted. Now you soak it down in prayer. So I just started praying for them. It was months went by. My brother Robert called me up on a Saturday, and I was actually studying for Sunday school the next day. I taught a junior's class. While I was studying, my brother Robert called, and I said, hello. And he said, David, this is Robert. I'm reading my Bible, but I don't understand us. I'll be over there in a minute. And I hung up on him, got my car, drove over there, got witnessing to him. He started underlining all the scripture verses in the Bible. Anyway, he went upstairs in his bedroom, laid that Bible down. He called on God, repentance and faith, and he got saved by the grace of God. My sister Janet was sitting there at my mom's house, and I walked in. I was living out on my own at the time. And I walked in, and I was sitting there in the den talking to her. I wasn't witnessing to her. I just talked to her. All of a sudden, she had tears in her eyes. I said, "Janet, what's the matter?" She said, "I don't know if I'm saved or not." I got witnessing her, and she called on God and asked the Lord to save her. I have a brother named Gary. Of course, he's in heaven. He passed away with cancer last year. But my brother Gary, he's a comical fella. And anyway, he drove a beer truck for Schlitz. That's what he did for a living. So anyway, I invited him to church with me. So he came Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night for a whole month. Well, the end of the month was on a Wednesday. And so anyway, he come to church all that month. But that day, he drove that beer truck, went from one bar to another, one lounge to another, one store to another. Got home, got cleaned up. He was coming to church. So anyway, he got in his car, and his car wouldn't start. So the only way to get to church, drive that beer truck to church. So he drove that beer truck, had Slit Small Liquor Bull on the side of that truck. So he come driving up, couldn't find a parking place big enough for that truck. So guess where he parked it? Right in front of the church. So the only way you get around that, get in the church, go around that beer truck, go up the front steps, go in the front door. Somebody come running to the preacher, said, "Preacher, preacher, preacher, you won't believe this, but someone drove a beer truck, parked it right in front of the church. You can't get in the church unless you go around that beer truck." He said, "I don't know who it is. Maybe they get saved tonight." He preached a salvation message on a Wednesday night. And as soon as the invitation was given, I was sitting on the third pew. My brother Gary was sitting in the back pew. He come all the way down. He went like this. He said, "David, I am so ready." He got in the back room there, and they began to witness to him. He called on God in repentance and faith, and he got saved by the grace of God. When he came out, I used to wear these pins a lot. One says, "Jesus saves." One says, "Jesus loves you." One says, "Jesus is Lord." I happen to have the one "Jesus is Lord" on, so I put it on his coat. I said, "Gary, wherever you go, you need to wear it." He said, "I'll do it." Well, I didn't think about it. Next day, he went to work. Had his uniform on, Slits on this side, and "Jesus is Lord" on this side. So he walked into the warehouse, and the manager looked at him and said, "What is this Jesus is Lord thing?" He said, "You won't believe this. Can I talk to you a few minutes?" He said, "Sure, come in my office." He said, "I've been going to church all month. God's convicted me about my sin. Last night, I truly repented of my sins. I asked the Lord to save me. That burden of sin was lifted. I got saved. Every one of y'all need to get saved." Of course, he had to get another job in about a week or so. Say amen right there. But anyway, the importance of witnessing. Let me give you number two, the qualifications of a witness. Number one, underneath that, if you're going to be a witness, then you're going to have to be saved yourself and know it. I'm glad I know, as I know, as I know that I've been saved. I got saved July the 7th, 1981, on a Tuesday night at 9 p.m. That's when I got born again. I had the head knowledge, but didn't have the heart knowledge. I knew about God, but didn't have a personal relationship. Beside my couch in my living room, and I called on God, repentance and faith. Brother, I got gloriously saved, and I'm glad I'm saved, and I'm glad I know I'm saved. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. How long is eternal? It's forever. By the way, you can't lose sonship. You can lose fellowship. You can lose communication, but you can't lose sonship. Some people think you can lose your salvation. Well, number one, you didn't produce it. Number two, you didn't save yourself. God saved you. Number three, you can't lose it because God's the one that keeps it. Number three, you can't lose sonship. Hey, I'm a child. I got four children. They're not perfect. You know why? Because they act like their daddy. I ain't going to tell my wife that, but anyway, they act like their daddy. But anyway, what I'm saying is they're not perfect, but they're still my children no matter what they do. Okay, so I'm glad that we're a child of God. So you got to know you're saved. And then you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit," or be controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's not easy to witness. Am I right about that? It's not. So you'll have to pray about it a lot. You have to spend time in God's Word. One of the easiest way, I think, to witness is just give a gospel tract out. I was at the hospital, this has been about 3 months ago, and we were walking by, a friend of mine was walking by, and we went by a fellow who was sitting on the bench there, and all I did was give him a gospel tract, and he said, "Thank you." And I walked past him, but I turned around to look, see if he was going to read it, and he was reading it. So I turned back around, and I said, "Sir, are you interested in that gospel tract?" He said, "I am." He said, "Been going through a lot lately, been thinking about God, just not sure how to get him." And I said, "Well, I'll tell you how to get him." So I got witness to him, and he got him that day, amen. So he called on God and asked the Lord to save him. So sometimes just the simplest thing as a gospel tract or as a testimony, a witness, really makes a difference in a person's life. So anyway, you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going kind of quickly, but I want to give you the third thing about being a soul winner. Number three, the approach. And I'll just touch on this real quick. There's a direct approach. In other words, this approach can be used when witnessing to a relative, a friend, a concerned person, a seeker. I know at first when I witnessed to my brothers and sisters, they did listen for a little bit. Then God started convicting them. And when that happened, they started running from that conviction, to be honest with you. And then I had to soak it down in prayer. And then they started coming to me, and thank the Lord for that. So you can have a direct approach where you can just talk to a person right directly. Andrew used this direct approach when he brought Peter to Christ. Andrew brought Peter, later on the Apostle Peter, to Christ. How would you like to lead someone who was a great soul winner? Isn't that something? You have the fruit that they have. A friend, Philip, used his direct approach to bring Nathanael to Jesus. And then a concerned person. I think about Nicodemus. He was concerned, and God and the Lord witnessed to him. How about a seeker? Paul and Silas used this direct approach to lead the Philippian jailer to Jesus. How would you like for somebody to come running up to you and say, what must I do to be saved? But I was in a prison the other day, and sure enough, a fella come up to me. He's been witnessed to several times. He said, what can I do to be saved? That don't happen all the time, but when it does, what a blessing it is. And so a seeker. So that's a direct approach. Secondly, the indirect approach. This approach can be used when witnessing to a stranger. A lot of times, if you'll use a gospel tract, like how to get to heaven. This is great for children. If you give them that and they start reading, and I'll just say, it says how to get to heaven. Do you know how? I don't. I say, well, let me just talk you through this. You just talk them through that gospel tract. It says number 1, 2, and 3. And then, of course, it gives a plan of salvation there. So that's the indirect approach to a stranger. How about a religious person? Philip the evangelist used the indirect approach to lead the Ethiopian eunuch to Christ. Here he was actually reading the scriptures, and all Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? How can I let someone just guide me? So anyway, the approach. We see the importance of it. It is so important. And then it's just important to be a witness. The qualification, you've got to be saved yourself, and then you got to be filled with the Spirit. And then the approach, direct and then indirect. Then I want you to notice the follow-through. Number 4, the follow-through. The parable of the sower illustrates the importance of following through. Only 1/4 of the soil was ready for the seed. Only 1/4 of the seed brought forth fruit. Jesus gave this parable in Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. Think about this. The sower is the witness. The seed is the word of God. The soil is the heart. So we learn about the 4 types of hearts. The hard heart, this is the wayside soil. The shallow heart, this is the stony soil. The worldly heart, this is the thorny soil. The understanding heart, that was the fertile and the prepared soil. So the thing is, the lesson is, if we expect the seed, the word of God, to bear fruit, the heart must be made ready. So the hard heart must be broken. The shallow heart must be given depth. And the worldly heart must be taught that the things of this world are temporal. This requires time, work, and patience. So it takes time. It does. It takes time. But thank God it's worth the time. Now let me give you a plan of salvation. This is what I do. And I know everybody's a little bit different. It is important to be a witness. And I know some people are a little bit nervous about it. But you can tell someone what the Lord's done in your heart. I know when I first got saved, I did not know John 3:16. I was brought up in the Catholic Church and we didn't read our Bibles. We didn't know. Now, we knew Bible stories, but we didn't know scriptures. So I didn't know what John 3:16 was. But I did know what God did in my heart. I knew that I was burdened. I knew that I was a sinner. And I knew that when I accepted the Lord in my heart, repented of my sins, that burden was lifted. And I told everybody about it. And that first week, I witnessed to one of my friends. He come to church with me, and he got saved. And then I had another friend. She come to church with me and she got saved. And I didn't even know John 3:16. I'm telling you, all you got to do is tell somebody what God's done in your heart. And then use the gospel tract. I like the ones that are illustrated. It's got pictures on it. Amen. I remember me and my wife was witnessing to a fella and he just wasn't getting it. We were at his house and his wife was there, me and my wife, and he just wasn't understanding a thing I was saying. Finally, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, get that gospel tract out, go over there beside him and read it to him. And so I did. It has pictures on it. And I didn't realize this, but he never learned to actually read. And he couldn't comprehend words very well. So when I was talking to him, he wasn't understanding. But when I was showing him, He understood what I was saying. I had an opportunity to witness to him. So a gospel track would be great to do this. But let me just tell you how I do it. When I have an opportunity to witness, and I just got back from a trip in Missouri, and most of the time with the inmates, I always ask them, do you know what it means to be saved? I know in our day you ask that, and most of the time, you know, people will just say, yeah, I'm saved. But anyway, I ask them, do you know what it means to be saved? And sometimes they'll say yes, but a lot of times they'll say no. If they say yes, I say, what does it mean? Well, kind of put them on the spot. And I'll be honest with you, if they're saved, they can tell you. But if they're not, they can't tell you. So I said, listen, let me show you what the Bible says about how to be saved. And I'll open my Bible and I'll go through a plan of salvation. But let me just go through it real quick, how I witness to people. And maybe it'll help someone in their witnessing. When I say, do you know what it means to be saved? And they say no. So let me explain it to you. When I talk about being saved, this is what I mean. I'm going to die someday, and you're going to die someday. According to God's word, if a person's saved, they're going to go to heaven. If a person's not saved, that means they're lost. And if they die, they're going to be judged for their sins. There are basically five things a person needs to realize in order to be saved. Number one, you need to realize you're a sinner. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When I say all, what that means is that means I've sinned. That means you sin. That means everybody has sin. And the Bible says we're all sinners. Because of that, we fall short of heaven. So that means you cannot work your way to heaven. You cannot merit your way to heaven. You can't get to heaven on your own. So number one, you're a sinner. And I ask them, do you realize that? And they say, yeah, I'm a sinner. Secondly, because you're a sinner, you owe something. Now the Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is... But when I think about wages, I think about work. Let's say a person works on Monday and they work all the way until Friday. In the week, they receive wages for the work they perform for that week. Spiritually speaking, we're all born with a sinful nature. Therefore, we live a whole lifestyle of sin. The wage of that sin, the end of that sin is death. We're going to die. When a person dies without Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when a person dies without their sin being forgiven, when a person dies without being saved, then they're going to be judged for their sin in a place called hell. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And the judgment it's talking about is called the white throne judgment. And Revelation 20, verse 14 and 15 says, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into that lake of fire. Hell is the real place. The lake of fire is the final judgment. Jesus said like this in Luke chapter 16, hell is a place of fire and brimstone, place of torment, place of judgment, place of separation from God. A man or woman, boy or girl, in their right mind does not want to die and go to hell without God. And then thirdly, because we are sinners and we owe a sin debt, which is death or hell. Number three, Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to this earth 2,000 years ago. He died on the cross and He paid our sin debt for us. That is the good news. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God hath commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Aren't you glad of that? And I'll ask them that. Aren't you glad of that? And they'll say yes. And I say the four things real important. You can realize you're a sinner, that you owe a sin debt, which is death or hell, and that Jesus died for your sins. But to apply salvation to your heart, you must have repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You got to repent. Repentance is a change of mind. It's a change of heart. It's you turning to God. And when you turn to God, you're actually turning from your old lifestyle of sin. The pornography, the fornication, the adultery, the idolatry, the lying, the cheating, the stealing, the drugs, the alcohol, the murder, or whatever it is. So if you'll turn to God and accept the Lord in your heart, God will forgive you. But thank God, He'll deliver you from that lifestyle. So instead of you walking in this direction, you're going to start walking in this direction. Instead of you living for the devil, you're going to start living for God. Instead of walking the path of unrighteousness, you're going to start walking in the path of righteousness. Doesn't mean you're perfect, but your desire will be different. Your direction will be different. Your life will be different because your heart will be different. Amen. And then lastly, you just got to believe with your heart. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised Him from the dead and thou shalt be saved. Doesn't say might be. Doesn't say hope to be saved. Doesn't say one of you are saved, but it does say shall be. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you realize you're a sinner and you owe a sin debt, death or hell, and that Jesus died for your sins, if you're willing to repent, believe with all your heart, God will save you right now. There's three ways that God deals with a person. When you come to a place, you get tired of that old life and you want a new life. That is God dealing with you. Secondly, when you come to a place, at one time when you sin, you enjoyed that sin, had a lot of pleasure in that sin, you liked that sin. But now that sin bothers you. You feel guilty about it. You know it's not right. Well, that's God dealing with you. That's God convicting you. That's God showing your need of salvation. Thirdly, you start thinking about heaven. You start thinking about hell, and where you're going to spend eternity when you die. When you start thinking about those things, that's God putting that on your mind. That's God dealing with your heart. That's God convicting you about your sin. That's God showing your need of salvation. I say, with that in mind, do you feel like God has been dealing with you about being saved? By the way, you can't get saved unless God's dealing with you. Amen. But I said, do you feel like God's dealing with you? If they say yes, and I said, well, do you realize you're a sinner? You owe a sin debt. Jesus died for your sins. If you'll mean it with your heart, if you'll repent and believe with your heart, God will save you right now. Normally, I just pray first. I'll stop and I'll let them pray in their own words. And I'll say, listen, all you got to do in your own words, it doesn't have to be exactly like this, but ask the Lord to forgive you for all your sins. Ask the Lord to come into your heart. Ask the Lord to save your soul. And just tell the Lord you want to give your life to Him in the name of Jesus. The important thing is you meaning that with your heart. So I try to explain that. I don't want to just get a profession just to get one. I don't. We had 82 saved this past week. But I ask them, and I know I wasn't the only one. There was several of us working as a team. But I make sure God's dealing with them first. God's got to deal with that heart. And if they repent and mean with their heart, then God will save their souls. After I lead someone to the Lord or witness to one and they get saved, I go back to those same verses. In Romans 10:9, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart God raised him from dead, and thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say might be or hope be or wonder if you are, but it says shall be. I said, you just confess Jesus Christ as your Lord? They say yes. Do you believe with all your heart God raised Jesus from the dead? They'll say yes. Well, the Bible says you're what? And they said, I'm saved. I said, it's good, isn't it? And they said, yeah. Then I say, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you just call upon the name of the Lord? Yes. Did you ask the Lord to forgive you for your sins? Did you ask the Lord to come to your heart? Did you ask the Lord to save you? And they'll say yes. Well, that means you're what? It means I'm saved. So I take them through those same verses and make sure they have assurance of their salvation. Then I let them know what they need to do. They need to, of course, I know they're in prison, the ones that I deal with, and I've led a few outside of prison. Well, they need to get in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Then they need to get baptized, not to get saved, but identify themselves with the one who did save them in the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And then they need to spend time in the Word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. You got to hear the Word, read the Word, study the Word, memorize the Word, and meditate on the Word and apply it to your heart. I also mention this. When a person is born, they're born with a sinful nature. That's why we sin. When a person gets saved, they receive a new nature. The nature that comes from God. So if you're saved today, you got two natures. You got the old nature, the new nature. What you feed the most is what you're going to walk in. If you're struggling in your Christian life, you know why? You're feeding that flesh. If I'm struggling in my Christian life, you know why? I'm feeding that flesh. But instead of feeding the flesh, I need to spend time in the Word. I need to spend time in prayer. I need to spend time in God's house. I need to feed that spiritual man. I automatically will walk in the Spirit. So being a soul winner, it's important to be a witness. Amen? Amen? To be an effective witness, you need to make sure you're saved and you got to be filled with the Spirit in order for Him to empower you. There is a drawing the net, and then there is a receiving that net, and there is a way, a plan of salvation. They need to know their sinners owe a sin debt. Jesus died for their sins. And so it's important for them to repent and believe with all their heart. So that is the soul winner. We were in a prison this week, and there was a fellow that had tried to commit suicide about 3 times. He come to the altar one time after a service, and I was dealing with him, and we went into the hallway, and he showed me, lifted up his shirt, and he showed me where he actually stabbed himself and cut his stomach. And he's tried to commit suicide about 3 times. He said, I believe in God. I know I'm saved. And I said, I smiled. I said, listen, you know, when a person gets saved, they get born again and they get the Holy Spirit living in their heart. He's not going to lead you to cut yourself. He's not going to lead you to try to take your life. He won't do that. And I said, you keep telling me you don't have any peace at all. Well, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. What you're telling me is you don't have the Lord in your heart. You have the head knowledge, but not a heart knowledge. So he heard us preach. Of course, I preached and several others preached for 4 days. He come to the altar every time. But anyway, the last day, he actually prayed and called on God, repentance and faith. He got saved. He come up to me. He said, thank you. He went to that other fella. He hugged him, said, thank you. And he got peace of mind and peace of heart. All I know is this. There's only one thing you and I can take to heaven with us, and that's another soul. The soul winner's message. Let's pray. Father, we do love you, and you are worthy, and we're thankful. Thank God for this church. I appreciate them laboring with us. I appreciate them laboring here in this community. I appreciate them supporting missionaries across the United States and around the world. I appreciate their burden for souls. But there might be someone here that's not saved. They have the head knowledge, but they don't have the heart knowledge. Pray you'll woo them and draw them, convict them, deal with their heart, their soul, their mind. And I pray you'll save them even tonight. There might be several that are here that is saved. They know the Lord, no doubt about that, but they've not been a witness. They've not been testifying. They've not been witnessing for the Lord. They've struggled in their witnessing. So I pray you'll give them that power, that unction, that anointing that they definitely need. And I pray you might use them in a great way. There might be several here that's got a mom or dad that's not saved, son or daughter that's not saved, brother and sister's not saved, relatives that are not saved. Maybe they get a fresh burden and start praying for them. I remember I prayed many times all through the night. Several times I'd get up early. Several times I'd go to bed late just crying out to God for my loved ones. And my brothers and sisters are now saved. All seven of us are saved. Mom and Dad saved. And I thank the Lord for that. So I'm asking you to do a work in every heart, do a work in every life. And we'll thank you for all that you do now in Jesus' name. With your head bowed and your eyes closed.